Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
People, welcome back to the show. I hope none of you left. This may just be the best guest we've ever had. It's at least tied for first place in my book. But before we go back, Lee's going to go. Ms. Schaefer-Lee has to ask you a question, and he's going to ask you which way you want to go. So go for it. Lee's my co-host. He's been with me forever. Go ahead, Lee.
Yes, Ms. Schaefer. Would you like to talk about how it was like for you in prison, and did they abuse you? And I know they don't have a Bill of Rights over there, like we have political prisoners here in America, but just go ahead if you want to. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for that question. Actually, they didn't abuse me. Like, not, there was no physical torture or anything like that. I mean, life was kind of a shock, and it was very difficult in the beginning. But, you know, once I found my way into a rhythm of sorts and figured things out in prison, and I can tell you I was never bored because I was very busy and engaged writing letters. I was receiving letters, and I want to bring that up again with regards to Alfred and give out his address, if I may, in a moment. But and I also had received my violin into the jail 3 months after I got there, which was a lifesaver for me. It really turned things around. It opened many doors for me, like I would say, doors into the hearts of other prisoners, too. And mm-hmm. I developed friendships there, like close friendships. And I mean, we were locked in 21 hours a day into our cells, and so that's a lot of hours to be locked right in, and 1 hour a day you get outside in the courtyard, and then there's an hour and a half in the afternoon where you have access to the wing, so other prisoners, and the shower room, and that kind of thing. And then when they bring the hot meal in the midday, they leave the cell doors open for 45 minutes there, too. So other than that, though, we're just locked in. But like I say, once I got into a rhythm of sorts, and I was quite disciplined about staying healthy and fit, and I just decided right at the beginning, I'm going to stay healthy in mind, body, heart, and soul. And I did. I did that. And I actually became a happy person. I was in a good mood most of the time, I would say. You know, once I resigned myself to the fact that I don't have control over the keys, they have the keys, they wield that power, but they don't have power over my mind, they don't have power over how I feel inside. And I would say that the biggest thing that helped me was my clear conscience. I understood and knew that I am not the criminal. The criminals are on the outside. They locked me up because they're very, very afraid of what I am saying. And I would put it to you this way, that if I was just speaking gibberish and lies, they would either just ignore me or just not bother with me. Like, they could use argument and evidence to counter my gibberish and lies. But you see, when you speak truth, they don't have anything other than force to shut you up. Like, I mean, they shut me up forcibly by locking me up, you see. So, but they don't shut me up, really. I mean,
yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That's
so that's in summary.
They don't. They can't. They can't use reason.
No.
But
no.
Well, would you like to just? Yeah.
Excuse me. During our break there at the top of the hour, I thought about the things that I would still like to talk about, and this time goes very, very fast, and I have, you know, many, many stories, but I wanted to talk about Alfred and his wonderful spirit and some of his stories coming out of jail, and encourage people to write to him. And if you like, I can just tell you the address over the air. It's just quite simple.
Please.
So, Alfred Schaefer, Stadelheimer Straße. So Stadelheimer, that's Stadelheimer, and then you could just put the abbreviation for street, same abbreviation in German, STR. Mm-hmm. And then the next line would be 81549 Munich. Yeah, 81549 Munich.
Well, that's that's great. And yeah, we're from the south. Yeah, we're from the south. Anything over two, yeah, you can repeat that. We're from the south. Anything over two syllables, it's hard to pronounce.
Ms. Schaefer, if you will, repeat what you told. Repeat that address again, because we very much want to write
the name. The name Alfred Schaefer, and if you like, you could write political prisoner on the envelope. I think it's kind of good if those kinds of things are visible. Stadelheimer. STR, like Stadelheimer is the name of the street. So Stadelheimer, and then the STR for street. Oh, and I forgot to give the number. The street number is 12. Stadelheimer Strasse 12, 81549 Munich. Now, and Germany. But you know, that prison, it's called Stadelheim, and people told me that prison is so famous that you could even just write Stadelheim Prison, Germany, and it would get there. But I wouldn't take that chance. If you're going to make the effort to write a letter, maybe put a little bit more on there. You could also search online for his mailing address in prison, Stadelheim Prison, and you'll find it if you missed this in the phone call or on the air. So, he's writing. He will try to write back to anybody that writes to him that if you have a return address. And, I mean, if you didn't want to put a return address, and that's fine, too. Some people are afraid to, but no problem. And all the mail does go through the courts. They read it all. But still, I mean, the things he's writing out, he's just full of spirit, and he's not holding back himself. But I'll tell you a little story that he had a prison job. You know, you can get a prison job. It doesn't make you rich, but it does get you out of your cell and get you in contact with other prisoners more. So that, you know, that's kind of nice. And he was in the laundry. He was working in the laundry, and he made lots of friends there. Anyway, these people, they're mostly from elsewhere. Like, they're all these people being pushed into Europe, right? Like, the Germans are in the minority there, especially in the men's prison. They are really in the minority, let me tell you. So anyway, he's making friends with all these people, and he's teaching them things. He's telling them things. And then they have a course. They're going also to a course, how to become good Germans. You know, they're getting lessons in prison and to integrate them into Germany, because this is the agenda, right? Like, anyway,
correct.
The teacher is telling them all about how to be good Germans and that, you know, the democracy is the best, and how Hans and Fritz, if they love each other, then that's all equal opportunity, and everybody has to be tolerant, and all this stuff they're teaching them. And then they teach them all about, you know, Germany and the Holo hoax and evil Hitler, and they're teaching them all these things. And then these folks started arguing with the teacher and say, no, that's not how it is, and we're going to show these things to Alfred. And they got in a big panic and said, no, don't give any of these things to Alfred. You know, showing him what they're learning in school. All this communist crap and lies, as Alfred called it.
Well, Miss Monica, we've got to go to a break. When we come back, if you have time, I was going to ask you how the guards and the other prisoners treated you when you were in prison, and what they thought about you and your troubles.
Yes,
and also,
right. I would like to answer that. That's right.
Yes, ma'am. And to maybe recap your trial, what it was like.
We're
going to roll on. Okay, people, we're going to a break. We'll be right back. We're cramming all we can as fast as we can to this hour.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
The Innis is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. Got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, people, we're right back. And have no fear. If you will, write all your questions down for Miss Monica, because if God willing, if she'll come back, we're definitely going to have her back. I would love to get her back. We have an opening, March the 2nd. But anyway, Miss Monica, if you will, I'm not trying to guide you. Do what you want to do. But I was thinking maybe a quick summary of what your trial was like. How it compared with your brothers, and then if there's time after you go on the trial, tell the people how the guards in the prison and the other prisoners treated you, and what they think about your troubles and how well you received there, et cetera. That's not too much at one time.
Oh, yes. No, that's excellent. Thank you. I would like, actually, if you guide me through what you would like to talk about. But I'm going to talk about that last point first, and that how I was treated, because that I can summarize quite quickly. Well, when I arrived, I was the quote-unquote neo-Nazi on the block. And let me tell you, in re-educated Germany, re-educated a la George Orwell style, that's not a good thing to be in entering prison. So I got extra special, in quotation marks, treatment from the guards. Like, they kind of do their share of humiliating and degrading and kind of showing you who's boss, and they've got the keys, and they don't know or care who they're dealing with, in terms of they might be dealing with, you know, very sophisticated women, and they just want to show you that you're a piece of dirt, and they have the power over you. So they do that. But I think I got an extra share of that because I was the neo-Nazi. Now, this changed. Let me tell you, this changed a lot. It evolved so that actually quite quickly I could notice the change. But then by the time, you know, several months go by, and then by the time I got out, my goodness, I felt a huge transformation take place in the guards, how they treated me. They treated me with respect. And I think it's just because they got to know me as a person, and that I didn't have horns growing out of my head, and that it perhaps surprised them who, you know, how I was and who I was. So, and with Alfred, he says that he was treated with respect right from the beginning by the guards, and they all seemed to know he was, well, when they found out he was the brother of Monica, and since I had already spent half a year there, and the men and women's prison is next door to each other, and the guards or the wardens, they talk with each other. So they treated with him with respect right from the start, and he told me very kindly that I'd kind of paved the way for him. So that, in a nutshell, is that how I was treated. Now, the trial, My goodness. Well, I did mention already that you cannot really explain how you reach your conclusions or bring evidence without breaking the law again. And every step of the way, the judges showed themselves to be in a team, basically, with the prosecutor. In fact, our lawyers, Alfred's and my lawyers, they several times, I lost count how many times they put forward a motion to recuse these judges based on their non-neutrality, that they were clearly biased, and that each time there were, you know, documentable things that they had done or said that gave our lawyers the grounds for trying to say, look, these judges are not neutral, they must be recused, this has to be, you know, start over or something like that, or throw it out. And that, of course, never happened. They always were defended by their other team of lawyers, the judges who would rule on those things. And these guys always came back like a jack in the box. They were always back. And, I mean, right in the beginning, my lawyer gave a very rousing speech on why the whole case should be thrown out. It's completely unconstitutional because this law, Section 130 of their, I think you would call it the criminal code or whatever, it's completely unconstitutional. And he just gave this absolutely fantastic speech. And at the end of it, the only thing the prosecutor could say about it, she obviously found nothing of content that she could criticize. So she criticized his speech on the grounds that he was too emotional. I mean, it was so bizarre. Wow. Like, I actually took that little tidbit and saved it up for my last word, that four-hour speech I gave at the very end, you know, the defendants, that we can still have the last word in court. And so that was like 4 months later, because this trial went on over 4 months. We started July 2nd.
Wow.
6 months after I was incarcerated. So I was sitting there for 6 months without a trial. And in fact, 4 months without charges being formally laid, just waiting. I thought maybe I'd landed in Guantanamo Bay or something. Like, I just couldn't believe how things operate over there. But that's how it was. And I know that the questioner had asked how Alfred's trial was and my trial was. Well, we were in the same trial. It was the Schaefer siblings' trial. And so that's how it went forward. But what I was going to say about this emotional part, the prosecutor criticizing for, oh, he was too emotional. Well, in the last word, it's one of the many, many things I talked about, but I just said, you know, these laws, or this, what we are facing here right now, the consequences, we're dealing with life and death, we're dealing with peace and war, we're dealing with very big matters, like destruction of our culture and our people versus the, the protection and saving of us, like to just surviving of our people. And if we can't get emotional about these things, then what can we get emotional about? And I just left it hanging, and I made eye contact with her, and I just left it hanging there until she started squirming in her chair. It was a wonderful moment. I enjoyed that moment. But anyway, I could tell quite a bit about the trial. Like, any evidence that or request for witness that would have been in our favor were denied, simply denied. And their side, basically their most important witness, was the technical guy who examined Alfred's computers and electronic devices that they had raided and stolen out of his home. And that was more important to them. You know, when did he push this button and that button to put things out into the internet? Because they're just interested in, we broke the law, not interested in the contents of history. And it was a 20-day trial in total over the course of 4 months. And much of what happened there was a showing of the various videos that Alfred has made and mine. And his video channel, by the way, his YouTube channel, it's called Alfred S. So listeners could go there and see a lot of very educational things about psychological warfare. That's basically Alfred's specialty, and explaining how we have been duped and how they do it and what is going on in the world. And all these videos were shown. And basically at the end, you could say that not a single person in that courtroom could declare later, when this regime collapses, and it will at some point, and maybe when these judges are in the dock instead of us in the dock, well, they cannot say, well, we just didn't understand it. We just didn't know what was going on. No, they cannot. Like, this was a highly enlightening trial. Now, this doesn't mean this was working in our favor. The judge, in fact, stopped Alfred several times and said, oh, I just got to give you the warning. If you go there, that's new crime. And Alfred would say things like, well, you know, you want to lock me up for 6 million years anyway, so I'm just telling the truth. And he continued. good response. And for me, during my last word, even though I studiously avoided talking specifically about the Holocaust, because I did actually want to gain my freedom, I apparently broke the law in the context of things, like in the context, and I did have to flee Germany rather quickly afterwards because it looked like they were preparing new charges against me, even though they released me on time served. I mean, they found me guilty, but released me on time served and gave me the official document to say that, but they were preparing new charges by many indications to tell me that. What I really would like to talk about before this hour is finished is the relevance of this whole story to our current situation. Because...
Amen.
Yes. This is probably a good... I hear the music, so...
Yes, ma'am. It's excellent timing. And when we come back, we'll have two more segments. The last segment will not be that long. But hang on to your seats. What a dynamic, dynamite interview.
Thank you.
What she's going to talk about when she comes back is the relevance of it today. You need to listen very intently. We'll be right back, people. Hang on to your seats.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Rick Vincent.
New York Democratic Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez gives her inaugural address in the Bronx, continuing to take aim at Amazon, which she's accused of creating dehumanizing conditions for its employees.
We do not have to settle for scraps in the greatest city in the world. We deserve more, and we can ask for more, and if people don't want to negotiate, that's their problem, not ours.
Ocasio-Cortez and others like Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders were quick to take victory laps over the retailer's sudden decision not to put a planned $2.5 billion headquarters in New York, along with a promised 25,000 jobs. Others, like New York Democratic Representative Carolyn Maloney, has slammed Ocasio-Cortez for working against Amazon.
It used to be that we would protest wars. Now we're protesting jobs. If this had gone through, it would have made overnight New York City the high-tech capital of the East Coast.
Maloney making her comments to CNN. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-406-0046. 800-406-0046. That's 800-406-0046. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM19, Oregon DM80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC32.
Former Vice President Joe Biden at the Transatlantic Commission on Election Integrity in Munich to talk about how legitimacy is undermined by malicious actors. Biden was asked about whether or not he'll be running in 2020 for president.
I haven't reached a decision. I'm in the process of doing that, and I will, in the near term, let everyone know what that decision is. I think there is sufficient amount of time to do that, and I think that we have a tendency, particularly in the States, to start the whole election process much too early.
Biden assured political leaders and security experts gathered in Germany that the U.S. will remain committed to its allies. Minnesota Democratic Senator Amy Klobuchar hit the campaign trail Saturday, nearly a week after announcing her bid for the presidency. She's already had several events in Wisconsin and Iowa this weekend. Vigils are being planned for the 5 deceased victims of a workplace mass shooting in West Suburban Aurora, Illinois, Friday. All 5 were named Saturday by Aurora's police chief. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, I'm just
Okay, people, thank you so much for hanging on. We're going to make this quick. Now you see why Miss Monica is the first guest in the history of our radio show that's been on for two consecutive hours. And now you know why. And she's getting ready to hit you with the home run of what the Rebelance is. And just as a side note, the Rebelance is, in this here United States of America, they're already putting in legislation through our Congress that's going to be a crime to do anti-Semitic things, wherever that is. With that, Miss Angela, I'm going right back to you.
Yes, hi, thank you. The relevance to today, you know, when this video of mine first came out in June 2016, and I was being really defamed and attacked in my hometown, and some well-meaning friends would say to me, "Oh, Monica, that's so long ago. Like, why are you talking about that? Why?" It's just not relevant to today. And, you know, we have very pressing problems in today's age, and we should be thinking about those problems, not that. It's so long ago. And, I mean, I would laugh because if it was so irrelevant, why did they throw me in jail? Or why would they be so upset about it before they threw me in jail? You know, the townsfolk here were very upset with me. And I created a little bit of a firestorm here about it. So these two things do not mesh. The fact that I'm, first of all, being defamed and you know, they try to destroy me, and then they actually throw me in jail, if it was so irrelevant, that would not have happened. So why is it relevant? How is it relevant? Well, I think this is extremely important to understand this, the connection. The hollow hoax is how they are holding us down. And it starts with the German people. They've extorted the German people, and they've made them to be evil and you know, basically keep them on their knees. But now, by extension, the whole entire white race, so that if...
Amen.
Yes, exactly. You see, this is where it all ties together with, you know, some of the ads in between these segments, the League of the South and what they're saying, and that, you know, like, free ourselves from the globalists, and who are these people? What are they doing? Well, they have been holding us down with this hollow hoax narrative, because, you know, when we start to criticize, oh, immigration policies or anything like that, oh, they use these words against us. You're racist, you're white supremacist, you're this, you're that. And then, oh, that's going to lead to the next Holocaust. You see, it's always the Holocaust, which is, of course, as if anybody does the very rudimentary amount of research, they will figure out that this is a giant hoax. There were no gas chambers. I mean, I just have to say that really clearly. There was no plan to exterminate the Jews. Many people died. It was war. It was a brutal war, and people even died in those camps, especially in the last few months of the war. I mean, there was illness and there was starvation, but that's because Germany was being destroyed by the Allied forces, and the supplies were no longer reaching the camps. You see, so the relevance to today, they keep us down with this fake narrative, with this false story. And I could talk about, you know, how the white men are being made to be weak in all the sort of depictions, you know, Hollywood and advertisements, and then men of other races are being made to be strong in these same depictions, and how this is playing out in basically, you know, replacing us and having us all get mixed up together. And yeah, this is to basically get rid of us. And they've told us this. It's not like we're guessing. They have told us that is the goal. I mean, and you could look up Noel Ignatieff to see what he says. Harvard professor, by the way, he says, you know, the white race should be done away with, and we'll keep flogging those old dead white men and the live ones too, and the women too. I mean, he says that white genocide is loyalty to humanity. He says it. And then there were those books you mentioned earlier, that Germany Must Perish, that's by Theodor Kaufman, and that was you know, talked about in the press, like, oh, good idea, interesting idea, that kind of thing. And the Houghton plan, the Coudenhove-Kalergi, I mean, there's all these things have been written, and we have been told that they do want to get rid of the white race. And the Hollow hoax is one of their big hammers with which they keep us down and keep us from being able to even talk about it or recognize what's going on. They use all these weaponized words against us. I mean, the big words, you know, racist and white supremacy and neo-Nazi and radical right. And actually, in one of your commercial breaks, they talked about those words, the right and the radical right. I love talking about those words in particular, because in Germany, too, the mainstream media, they talk about Rechtsradikal, which is the same, translated radical rights. And think about those words. You know, we use right and left in our politics, and right is the same word as being correct, like being right. And it's in German also, it's the core, the root word for justice, and so fairness and all these things. So we're right. And then radical means getting to the root of things, so seeing the big picture. So isn't that beautiful? We're right, and we're seeing the big picture of how it is in the world. So they take that term, which should be a very beautiful description, and they turn it on its head and make it be like right radicals or evil people. Now, isn't that an interesting little twist? I just think it exemplifies it. I'll let you get it, say something there.
Oh, you're doing great. I hesitate to interrupt you, but you know, it's interesting. We're not supposed to say anything at all about the Holocaust or anything else like that. But you know, the Jews and the Jews control media. Everybody knows they control the media 100%. They control Hollywood. They control the newspapers, the radio. But they talk about it incessantly, yeah, just like you said. But they don't like to mention this. They don't. And I'm going to make this short. They don't like to mention, for instance, you know, in Israel, they can say things in Israel that we can't. I'm going to see if I can read this quote right quick. Like, there's a guy named Genry Yagoda. It says, not one person in 10,000 knows his name. But, and this comes out of a Jewish newspaper, the Ynet News. He says that he was one of the greatest mass murderers of all time, although we hear nothing about him. A major Israeli news publication, the one I just mentioned, Ynet News, disclosed the historical truth about Yagoda, saying, we must not forget that some of the greatest mass murderers of all time was Jewish. They go on. Genry Yagoda was one of the greatest murderers of the 20th century. He is responsible for the deaths of at least 10 million, which is twice the number alleged against Hitler, which was the latest number was 5.1, but it keeps getting toned down. Also, lastly, Henry Yagoda was one of his goons, him and his Jewish bosses, the Jews totally 100% ran the Cheka, and they ran the mass concentration camps in Siberia, which were the largest concentration camps in the world, and they murdered millions of people there, millions of Christians, white Christians. And you're absolutely right, Miss Monica, that's their goal. Their goal, these Jews who are running this mass global white genocide, that's our theme here in Blood River. Their goal is nothing less than our total eradication off the face of the earth. They want us exterminated. Now I'm going to shut up and go back to you, Miss.
Yes, that is their goal. They tell us that. They tell us that. But I do want to just say that I cannot lose hope. I don't lose hope. And the fact that they go after us so hard when we're telling the truth, that gives me hope, because they do know and understand that if we figure this out, we turn this ship around. We really do. And we are figuring it out very fast. And obviously, if they thought they had it all completed and finished and that they've won this, then they wouldn't care about people like me or you. You know, they would ignore us. They just wouldn't bother with us. But they sure do feel threatened by truth tellers. I'll tell you a little story about in prison, some women that I was showing something in English, and I asked them, well, do you speak English? Because I speak German very well, by the way, so I was communicating in German or English, whatever was the need. So in this case, yeah, I asked them, and the one says, oh, yeah, my boyfriend, he's from Morocco, and we only speak English together. And the other one pipes in, yeah, my boyfriend, too, we speak English with each other, and he was from another country. And then I just said, oh, what's wrong with German men? And, oh, my goodness, did I get an earful. You know, they just told me that German men have been basically trained to be wimps and you know, dish rags, and they understood full well that this was not a genetic thing. No, they understood that. They've been taught to be that way. And I hear the
break. We're coming back to one more break. Yes, ma'am. We're coming back to one more break. You heard the music almost as fast as I did, Miss Monica. People, ma'am, what a dynamite guest. We scored a 5-star hit on this thing. We'll see you right back after the break, people.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
People, we're going right back to Miss Monica. I'm going to make a quick comment and ask one quick question. This comment goes out to all my wonderful evangelical Christian friends. I am a Christian, but I left the Baptist Church. The Baptist Church has come forward. They just worship Jews and they worship Israel. I would like to throw this question out there to my Baptist friends. Just say, for instance, there was 6 million Jews killed by the Germans in World War II. I guess God was just totally incapable. He was incapable of saving those Jews because, you know, he loves them so much and they're his faith. They're the favorite people. God knows they're the chosen people. He loves them. He would have saved them, but he was just totally incapable of saving them. Or maybe because the Jews killed millions, 30, 40, 50, 60 million, take your number, in Eastern Europe, in Russia, in the 1920s and 30s, all the way up to the 50s. Maybe if you believe in karma, maybe it's what come in the end, and Holodomor, 10 to 12 million there. Maybe it was karma. Maybe it's what goes around comes around. Maybe those Jews deserved what they got, even though there was not 6 million people killed. But I just want you geniuses in the Baptist church and these evangelical churches, think about that for a minute. And the question I have to Miss Monica is, Miss Monica, did you have any relatives that perished in the gulag of Russia under the hands of the Jews and prior to the Second World War and thereafter?
Well, I my relatives come from Germany, and I had relatives in the eastern part of Germany as well as in the west. And of course, some relatives died in the war. As far as the forced expulsions that took place, see, that's something else we didn't cover at all. But I don't know if I have direct relatives that died in that. But millions of Germans died during these forced expulsions. They estimate 16 million were forcibly expelled from places like Sudetenland and Prussia, and there are a number of more regions there that then became parts of Czechoslovakia and Poland and whatnot. And this was after the war. They were expelled forcibly, and 16 million of them. That's like, I think, the biggest human expulsion, forced expulsion that we know of. And they estimate that 3 million died along the way, and many died in very bad, brutal conditions. So, yeah, as far as relatives dying, I mean, yes, we always hear about any Jewish person you talk to, oh, I have 37, you know, uncles and aunts and cousins and whatnot that died at Auschwitz, and but I don't know how many of them can name these 37 relatives or whatever. But nonetheless, your comment is apt that they killed millions and millions and millions in the Soviet Union. You know, in Russia, they killed the white Christian people. They burned down the churches. Oh, my goodness. And they starved, you know, millions of Ukrainians in the Holodomor, like you say. And then to find out that this so-called 6 million, you know, Jewish Holocaust did not happen, and they don't have any evidence for it. They just keep telling us that it's the best documented event ever, and then they don't go on to show us that evidence or, you know, the documentation to show any of that. In fact, they forbid us from countering them, and they throw us in jail when we do. I mean, this is obviously they're hiding a big, 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 big deception and a lie. So,
Miss Monica?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would like to make one more quick comment. I'd like to go back to a comment I made earlier. I want our people to know that the International Red Cross was all over the German
yes.
front, and especially yes. the Eastern Front. All during the Second World War, they combed that place with a fine-tooth comb, and they found mm-hmm. nothing. They found nothing in the situation that even resembled a concentration camp. And I'll say one more thing. If you people would like to, if you have the comeuppance, you can get a book. It's a short one. It's called Auschwitz, The Final Count. You can send me an email. I'll give you all the details on it. It's Auschwitz, The Final Count, an anthology edited by Vivian Bird and published by the Barnes Review. And with that, I'll mm-hmm. shut up. Anybody want to know about that, contact me. Send me an email at Blood River. Back to you, Miss Monica. God bless
yes.
you. You're doing such a wonderful job.
Oh, thank you so much, Eddie. So, yes, there were concentration camps, just not death camps. So just to on a fine point there. And the Red Cross was invited and by the Germans who wanted the Red Cross to be there to witness what was going on. In fact, the camp directors, they were pleading for having supplies sent, like all the supplies no longer got through at the end of war, and conditions were deteriorating, and some of the water plants were being bombed, so that the sickness was rampant, typhus was rampant, people were dying for sure. And the Red Cross puts the death toll at somewhere under 300,000 in all of the camps together, and they're very detailed, and they list the cause of death, either sick, you know, illness or starvation or whatever. And yeah, there's no gas chambers. And the stories that they came up with after the war, they kept changing too, you know. So even the Holocaust historians, the official you know, quote-unquote Holocaust historians, they kept changing the stories. At first they talked about Diesel, and they talked about these moving, like, what do you call it, like people were put onto these moving bands and then electrocuted. I mean, they talked about all kinds of different things. They kept changing their story. And then in the 70s, they came up with that television series, Holocaust. And that's when the word Holocaust, yeah, that's when it really got going with that propaganda. It really got going then. Yeah.
Miss Monica, I'd like to just chime in one more time. You know, we have a gas, the so-called Zyklon B. It has its own, Zyklon B has its own cheering section. You know, it's the worst thing there ever was. This book I just told you people, it's clearly documented. There was far more Zyklon B used by the German army, with the German army troops, especially in the Eastern Front, because a lot of these bodies that you see piled up, guess what was going on in Europe at that time, people? It was a horrendous, out of the control, all the plague, the those little insects are typhus was just wiping.
Carried by lice, exactly.
Correct.
Yes.
They used the Zyklon B. The German troops would take antiseptic baths. They would put their clothes in, put the Zyklon B all over the clothes. They used more Zyklon B in the German army than they did any other prison camp.
Yes.
Well, back to you, Miss Monica.
Yes. They did find canisters, the empty canisters, Zyklon B canisters in the camps, and they were used there also to disinfect the clothing of the prisoners. And so, yes, there were these Zyklon B canisters, so they could call these the gas chambers to kill the lice. And see, the lice were they were carrying typhus. So they were actually saving the lives of the people coming in by disinfecting them. I mean, what an irony of ironies, you see. So,
yes.
Yeah, and earlier I was talking about, just before the last break, I was talking about these German women who were being attracted to foreign men who would protect them. So these German women were actually telling me, we want to feel protected by our men. And the German men have been trained now in this, you know, re-education times to be weak and to never sort of be strong, just to not stand up and be protective of them. So isn't that interesting? So this is what they've done, coupling that with this very big invasion and being pushed by Jewish money, like George Soros. I mean, he bragged about how he spent, I don't know, oodles of millions of dollars to fund this mass movement of people, and Angela Merkel goes around the world and telling them that, oh, come to Germany, you know, we have lots of room, the land of milk and honey, we'll give you everything, and it's a disaster, it's a total disaster what's going on there. But again, people are waking up. I do have hope in our awakening, and that we rise, you know, that our spirit come back, and that those German men who have been turned into wimps, and by extension white men, that we become, that they become strong again, and that, you know, we shed our fear. That fear is probably the biggest
amen
tool they have to keep us down, and if we shed our fear, then they lose their power over us, really. So that is what we have
Miss
to do.
Monica, We're getting very near the end of the program. Yeah. I have my own plan on what to do, what little bit I can do. If you could give the audience your idea, what could white men, white Christian men in the United States and elsewhere, what would you advise them to do to try to get back our country, our Europe, our homelands in Europe, our homelands here in the United States? What could they do?
Well, I guess the first thing is that we educate ourselves and then educate each other. But then the next thing, and I wrote this in many letters to people who wrote me letters from the United States, I said, by all means, hang on to your Constitution, the First Amendment, Second Amendment, that's really important. I mean, all these attempts to disarm the people, that is extremely dangerous. I mean, why are they wanting to disarm the people? It's so that the tyrannical government really can just swoop in and have the power over the people. But, you know, and it is a tyrannical government. It's a government gone rogue. It's governed by the enemy, really. So that's a really important thing, is to make sure that, you know, you help as many people as possible to wake up to our situation, lose our fear, lose your fear, keep your guns. That's what, and I didn't used to talk like that. I did not used to talk like that. I used to be totally indoctrinated, let me tell you. I woke up.
Well, Miss Monica, sadly, we've come to the end. I sure hope you can come back. I will call you very, very soon after the show. We want to get you back. And people, if you will, write down all your questions, because God willing, if Miss Monica will agree to come back, we're going to have her back. She's an all-star guest. With that, people, on behalf of me and Lee, Sam, Matt, Winston, Jacob, all my crew, thank you so much. Thank you for listening. Please pray for Blood River. Pray for Monica. Pray for our success. Pray for the survival of our race. Thank you so much, people. Good night.